Raw Truth podcasts may contain explicit, sensitive, and questionable content. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual podcaster and are not based on the advice of a licensed psychologist, therapist, or other medical professional. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Women's lives follow many paths, twists and turns, and choices never planned nor expected. In life, temptation, anger, depression, and loneliness can lead a good person to make a choice that they can't take back. When facing judgment and isolation, a person can feel very alone. In this podcast, you will hear stories from women who made the choice to cheat on their spouses or partners. Hear their stories. This is Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity, an anonymous and no judgment podcast created and hosted by me, Rebecca Adams. I was an unfaithful wife. You are not alone. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Raw Truth, Stories of Female Infidelity. Week before last, we finished up a four-part episode story from Temperance. Very interesting. I had feedback from Patreon of people just, the Patreon listeners obviously listening to the regular Raw Truth, and one of them said that they felt so bad for her. So, I agree. There was a lot of shit that went down. Just wow. Today, we're going to have a story from Jamie. And this is actually our last story until September. As you know, I take off the summer. I just have a lot to do. And you know, being a grandma now, and it's hard. I'm having a hard time finding time to get these things done. So these things as in recording, and I don't want to let anybody down, but I just try to balance it out. Plans for the summer to get some things done, going on a cruise in June to Alaska for my one-year anniversary with my husband, of course. And it's been a year since we got married. We got married June 10th, and we will be gone that week in Alaska. And I'm actually taking ashes from my late husband because he was part Native Alaskan through his lineage heritage, Tlingit from Alaska. So I'm taking some of his ashes that I had separated out when he passed away, and I'm going to take them up there and drop them so he could be home, even though he had never been up there before. But, you know, I just wanted, he wanted to go and I wanted experience. So in Ketchikan, I'm going to put his ashes in the ocean there. So wish me luck on that. It's not easy. I don't like to do that kind of stuff. But it's something that I feel compelled to do. And it's kind of strange going on my anniversary and here's my late husband. I know. But God gives us things that we have to deal with and we just have to take them in stride, even though we don't understand. So that's happening. Ooh, and I'm excited at the end of June. I get to go see live in concert. If you've watched the TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyways? And of course, the couple of the main cast isn't, you know, like Wayne Brady, who does, Let's Make a Deal and stuff like that. He's not in it, but the real tall guy, Ryan Stiles, will be there. And a couple of other people that were on the later episodes, not with Drew Carey, but with Alicia. Oh, gosh, what was her name? Oh, she is so funny, but she was hosting it. So I do recognize three out of the four. But anyways, I'm looking forward to that. I love to go and laugh and just be crazy like that. So all of that. And then in our local area for the 4th of July, there's a demolition derby and nothing better than the 4th of July, eating a hot dog, watching cars slamming into each other, you know, and then fireworks. So that and just enjoying time with my daughter and grandson that come up when her husband is working, and just I want to be available to do that. Plus, I love to craft, and I have this huge, it was the play, old hickory home, old hickory sheds, if you guys have seen them. I have the play they call it the playhouse style. So it's got like a porch, and it's a regular man door, and it has windows and then two lofts inside. And I want to get that finished so that I can get my crafting and sewing and all of that stuff set up. So lots of plans for the summer, but that doesn't mean that I am not involved with the podcast. We need stories for fall. So I'll still be looking for people. I have stories that are coming in right now, but we do need several to make it through the rest of the year for both Raw Truth and for Patreon. And so if you've been thinking about submitting your story, this is the time. And I can help walk you through it. I've had people even say, well, I want to send an audio version because I don't want to sit down and talk. No problem. You can send it to me. Just message me, rebecca.rawtruth@gmail.com, and we'll figure out an audio, and then I'll get it transcribed and confirm that I understood everything, and we'll go that way. Keep you anonymous. So anyway, I have rambled now for 5 minutes, and I think it's time we go ahead and get started with Jamie's story. I'm a Midwestern gal who was raised on a farm. Growing up, my parents provided a good home, but both were emotionally distant. I did experience some sexual abuse by my dad that may be considered somewhat minor, but I do think it has affected me in my life more than I want to admit. I do suspect that there might have been infidelity by my dad as well. My mom suspected that, and I agreed. When I reached puberty, I became boy crazy. I was going with guys in junior high, and we had heavy petting then. I developed early, so I think boys were attracted to me because of that. My husband James and I have been married for 38 years. I met him when he started working for my dad on our farm. I was 14, and he was 21. We started out as friends, but he quickly took my virginity when I was 14. I was so crazy for him at that time. We decided to date after that for a while because this relationship was secret. Then we dated exclusively, but I wasn't keeping up my end of the bargain. The truth is, I really haven't ever been faithful to him except for times when I was raising our kids or another stretch of time when I wanted to be a good person and stop doing this. My history of cheating with guys in high school and college were kept secret. James and I dated for 6 years, and then we got married. I was 19 and was way too young, I believe. We quickly had two kids. I worked hard and had a good career and raised two great kids. However, I would find myself slipping into several affairs. I wanted it to end as soon as they started. I suspect that I was wanting the attention. Even old relationships have come back into my life at times, which has caused me to also stray. I have had 6 affairs since my marriage. My latest affair started 4 years ago with a classmate that I ended up working with. We were friends at work, and I would confide in him about things. His name is Daryl. He is married as well. For some reason, I let my guard down and began a sexual affair with him. Shortly after this, he started to have a lot of health problems. I stuck with him through that, but we did break it off for 2 weeks after a couple of months into the affair. But we got back together, and it's been something I've wanted to end ever since. It has caused me a lot of stress, worrying about his life-threatening health issues. His wife has found a couple of messages between us, but he told her we were just friends. One time, she confronted me, and I found myself lying through my teeth. Ever since then, I am afraid that I will run into her at the store. I constantly stress that she will catch us again. We live in a small town. My husband doesn't know anything about this affair. Daryl and I talk every day. He's my best friend and someone I can tell anything to. He feels the same way about me. He and his wife have drifted apart over the years, and he claims they no longer have a sexual relationship. He says he wishes he would have divorced her when she cheated on him twice. He thinks this is the only affair I've had. I haven't told him anything about the others. I really hate myself every day for doing this. I really don't know what I see in Daryl. The sex isn't that great. He has nothing to offer me. He isn't the type of person I would ever date. But for some reason, I can't seem to let go. My marriage is stable but not exciting. I'm not physically attracted to him. I'm so lonely in my marriage. He isn't affectionate at all, and I think that is what I miss, because I love to kiss and hug. That's something we never do. He's older than me, and our sex life is becoming less and less. I don't believe he suspects anything. Looking back, I wish I would have stayed single longer and dated around. I feel like I settled. Rushed to get married because I wanted to get out of my parents' house. But now I want to be a faithful wife, mother, and grandmother. I want to enjoy my life without all this stress and worry. It has begun to get harder to see Daryl. He has to be careful, and I'm always stressing about him or getting caught. It really isn't worth it. But I'm a weak person. I absolutely hate myself at times. People who know me would never believe what I'm doing. I've managed to keep it a secret. My marriage is not exciting, but James is a good man, and I feel terrible doing this to him. It just feels like we coexist. We don't have much in common. I resent him at times for things that have happened with my family and him. I just want to get my heart right with God and get this stress out of my life. Every time I think I can do that, then something happens and I think I can't end it now because I'll hurt Daryl. This has been going on for over 4 years. I think one of my problems is that I need attention and I want romance in my life. I'm a people pleaser. I have problems with setting boundaries. I've spent so much money on affair recovery groups that I thought would help me get out of this, but this has not helped me in things. I've made a few friends in those groups who know my story. They don't know that I have not ended things with Daryl, though, and I do think I could stay faithful if I could completely break things off with him. When I think about my kids or my family finding out about my secrets, I feel so terrible. My health and self-esteem are being affected by all of this. I want to be happy in my life. I can't do that if I keep doing this. I haven't had a talk with my husband about my dissatisfaction. I have at times told him that he isn't very affectionate, but I don't believe that there is anything I can say that will get him to think how important it is to me and him being willing to change. He has gotten better about listening to me when I vent about things without making rude comments or judging me. I thought just this morning that if I can get Daryl out of my life, then I should be venting to my husband. But we are so opposite. I don't enjoy the same things he does. But if I tried harder, I believe I could go with him more and enjoy being around him. My dissatisfaction with him is worse because of the affair. I know that. I just want to share with others that if you feel you need attention, don't look to it from another man for it. They will tell you what you want to hear and you will get sucked into being unhappy. It's not worth it. Jamie, you hit it right on the head. They will tell you what you want to hear and then you're stuck. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And there's a few things that come to mind. I was very much the same way. I was like driven for that need for excitement. I needed to keep busy. I needed to constantly feel that chase and that rush. And it can become addicting. And I think I've mentioned this on a past episode or two. But when I went to go see a therapist, she called me an excitement junkie and it pissed me off. I mean, I think there were nicer ways of putting it, but I do understand where she was coming from in retrospect when I look back, because it was true. And I felt growing up or in as a teenager, I didn't really have many boyfriends. I didn't, you know, I wasn't like the hot chick or anything like that. I was the choir nerd. And, you know, I never felt like some of my friends, you know, where the guys would like drool over them. That wasn't me. I always felt like the awkward one. Not that I didn't have boyfriends, but it seemed easier for other people, right? So getting married at a very young age, which I did as well as you, I was 18. And this had not been the only person that I'd been with. I'd been with one other person prior. In fact, I just talked to him, talked about him on the Let's Ponder episode I just recorded on Bad Boys. But anyway, the getting married young and not experiencing a whole lot really made me wonder if I had what it took. And so, well, I was married to my second husband, not my first. My first one had committed suicide, but my second husband, we were married and I just wasn't attracted to him. And I was attracted to who I thought he was from high school because we were good friends then. But once I found that I could get somebody else, I kind of used that as a challenge for myself because I was unsatisfied with what I had. Not that he was a bad person or anything like that. I just wasn't attracted to him, and he had a tendency to say things to me that made me feel stupid, degraded, using big words and things like that. That was hard. But once you got that chase going, then it's over. Let's try it again with somebody else, and it works. And it's that excitement. It's just that vicious cycle. And with you getting young, you being so young when you got married, you never really did find out who you were. I've been there. I understand. And so it's like we sow our oats, but not at the right time. We should have not married and sowed our oats in our 20s and got that out of our system. And that's what I actually recommended to my own children. Do what you need to do now and settle later. And so I can understand. And I feel like you're still looking for who you are and what makes you happy in life. But I don't feel you should take 100% of the blame for your marriage not being ideal. You own the affairs 100%. I mean, you talk about it, but a marriage is two people and you have to give and take and meet in the middle. And it doesn't seem like he's willing to take steps to connect. And he's kind of just stuck in the mundane routine of life, which is not where you want to be. Do you think he'd be willing to do any counseling? I mean, would he be open to it? Or is he like, I don't see a problem with our marriage? You know, because that happens a lot. But my thoughts are, if you truly do want to end it with Daryl, you can. It's hard to stop, but there are steps. Blocking his number, you avoid eye contact with him at work. You basically have to pretend he is not there unless you are forced to talk to him regarding work stuff, and that's it. His health is his deal, and I know you care. But you stressing and trying to own his health problems, you can't change that. It's not yours to take on. You can care and love from a distance as a friend, a support. But you're concerned that if you break it off with him, he's going to get sick. And I think you feel you may be responsible for it. But that's not the case. I think you are strong enough to do this. Things to think about. Is he truly worth the stress and fear that you're living with every day? I mean, you're losing a good time in your life because you are so stressed and pent up and constantly living with that fear. And I know that fear. I know what that is like. And you've said you love your husband. You don't want to end your marriage, but you need to spice it up. You need to kind of get things kind of back on track, right? And as long as Daryl's in the picture, that's never going to happen because your mind is so focused on something else. And you even said it that, you know what, your marriage is, it probably has a bad taste in your mouth. But if you let Daryl go and you do take all that energy and you bring it over and you focus it on your husband, you can fall back in love with him. You can help him understand using things like when you, and just as an example, when I get home from work and you choose to sit on the couch and just watch TV, I feel like I'm not important to you or I am invisible. And see how he reacts. You just kind of got to make sure you word it so you're not accusing, but you're using the I feel, you know. I just really think that would be helpful. And find out more about yourself. You know, you're feeling like you don't want to do things. You don't like what he does. You don't like the same things. Well, there's a lot my husband and I don't like either. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to agree to disagree. But make sure you're doing some things for yourself. Or like, okay, once a month, I'm going to go fishing with him or whatever. But once a month, I want him to come to a chick flick. I mean, you have to give and take and sit down and tell him that, you know, this time in your life, you want it to be great. And you want to do more things together and have adventures. And see what he says. Because I know, from what you said, it feels like he's just be like, life is fine with me. I don't know what your problem is. He doesn't see it, nor does he choose to see it. But you can help him see it by explaining how it makes you feel. And it sounds like you have a little bit, and he was a little receptive. So, you know, journal. Think about this. Write out your day. What are your goals? How do you want to feel? What can I do? But the first thing you need to do is get rid of, you know, amputate Daryl from your heart and your life and stick to it. You've come this far, you can do it. You've broken up with other people during your marriage, you can do it. You can do it this time. We only get one chance at life. We need to make sure whatever we choose to do is the best that's for us. And it sounds to me, based on what you've said, you do want your life with your husband and you do not want to be with Daryl. So shake that off. Let it go. You can do it. I know you can. I have faith in you. You can do this. Thank you all so much for being here today and for a great first half of 2024. Again, please, if you're considering sending your story, reach out to me. I want to help you with it. I will be available during the summer to respond and work with people. I just will not start recording new episodes until late August, because we'll release again in September. If you're a Patreon subscriber, as you know, during the 3 months when I am not, or any month rather, when I'm not putting out content, I freeze your charges on your Patreon. So you will not be charged for June, July, or August, because I don't feel it's fair to charge you for something when you're not getting anything out of it. So those charges will resume. If you're listening now and you're interested in signing up for Patreon, heads up, when I freeze charges, nobody can sign up because there's no access to, I can't charge basically. And so if you're wanting to sign up for Patreon and you don't do it before the end of May, and it's June, July, or August, you're welcome to send me an email. I'll keep it in my inbox, and I will send you a message out as a reminder when you are able to subscribe. But again, I just try to be as, you know, open about things as possible, and I don't like to charge people for things that they aren't getting anything out of. So anyways, thank you all so much for all your support. I look forward to hearing from those people who have stories or feedback in general. I love to get feedback from previous people who have written in their stories for follow-ups later in the year. Just have a great summer, and we'll see you in September, or at least you'll hear from me in September. Bye-bye. On Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity, I share stories of women who have been unfaithful to their spouse or partner. I give them a safe space to be able to explain what happened and why they chose the direction of infidelity. But I also feel it is just as important to understand what the betrayed husband or partner faced when he uncovered the truth. A few months ago, for some reason, I felt like something was off. My little girl has a tendency to steal her mom's phone. Her mom works nights and her phone is her alarm clock. So anytime you put a phone down around my daughter, she steals it and goes and hides and tries to play with it. She does this constantly. She's two. We had given each other our Facebook passwords when we first got together as a sign of trust. She would always check mine, which was fine. I had nothing to hide. But I never checked hers because I trusted her. However, that day, I decided to check and I honestly expected to find one or two things. I ended up finding 396 screenshots worth of shit. I found out she had been lying to me. To hear exclusive stories of the men's discovery of female infidelity in their relationship, have early access to regular episodes ad-free and more extras, subscribe to my Patreon by visiting my website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com. Subscription pledges start as low as only $4 a month. You have been listening to Raw Truth Stories of Female Infidelity. Your support of Raw Truth Podcasts is truly appreciated. When you visit the website, rawtruthstoriesoffemaleinfidelity.com, you will find the story guides to help form your story, where you can subscribe to Patreon for exclusive episodes, and to vote for the podcast to be in the Hot 50 Countdown for Podcast Magazine. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to my other podcast, Let's Ponder with Rebecca Adams, where taboo topics are discussed. To submit your female infidelity story, share feedback, or have general questions about the show, please email rebecca.rawtruth@gmail.com.